You're listening to Potluck.
And hey everyone, thanks for listening to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue, and my co-host Rira Yu is still out on vacation. So we're going to do something special for this week's episode. As you may have heard from last week's book news check-in, Rira and I will once again be attending this year's Festival of AAPI Books, taking place in Long Beach on Saturday, May 4th, 2024. It is an AAPI-focused book festival put on by Belcanto Books, which is an awesome Asian American-owned bookstore out in Long Beach. So in honor of being back at the festival, I wanted to share a couple conversations that we recorded from last year's festival that until now has only been available to our Honey Boba supporters on Patreon as part of our monthly bonus podcasts. As always, our podcast is supported in part by our listeners out on Patreon. So if you head on over and become a Patreon supporter, you'll gain access to bonus podcasts with conversations like this one, as well as access to our members-only Discord server where you can chat with us about books, TV, video games, anything really, in real time. So if stuff like this excites you, please head on over and become a Patreon supporter. But yeah, it was really fun to revisit these conversations. We had a chance to talk to authors Jessica Kim, Phil Yu, aka Angry Asian Man, Julie Tu, and Julie Abe. And I'm really excited to share these conversations on our main feed for the first time. Again, if you enjoy conversations like this and want to hear more of it, please consider becoming a supporter of us on Patreon to gain access to our monthly bonus podcasts. And definitely, if you're in the area, come visit us, come see us at our table this coming Saturday, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, of course, where we'll hopefully be collecting a new batch of live audio to share with y'all on Boba Chats next month. But without further ado, here are some highlights from our experience at the Festival of AAPI Books 2023.
All right, we are here at the Billie Jean King Library at the Festival of AAPI Books put on by Belcanto. How do you feel, Rira?
It's surreal. We're real life people.
I know. We just talked to
a real life event.
A bunch of real people in person about the podcast, and I feel awkward and weird, but it's also cool to see community out and about. And people, we have a board out asking people for recommendations for Asian American AAPI books, and we got quite a bit of recommendations. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had to coerce some people. We're like, don't be shy. No. We're all bookworms here.
They were more than willing, I feel like. But yeah, we'll be here all day. Hopefully we'll catch some of our friends, former guests of the show. Just come and chat. So yeah, stay tuned and we'll be back with our first guest.
All right, so I'm here with Jessica Kim, the author of Stand Up, Yumi Chung.
Oh no!
And forthcoming, Make a Move, Sunny Park. August 5th, 17, 2023.
It's wonderful to see you, Jessica. And it's Marvin's first time seeing you in person.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you have a new book that's coming out. Can you give us a quick elevator pitch for
Sure. It? It's actually a companion novel to Stand Up, Yumi Chung. Ooh. And Yumi, the main character, or I'm sorry, Sunny, the main character, is Yumi's cousin. And so this book is in the Yumi Chung universe, but it specifically deals with Sunny Park, who is obsessed with K-pop and dancing, and she's having some best friend drama. So
best
it's a little bit
dramas.
About toxic friendships and letting go of a friend you love.
Wow. Yeah, toxic friendships. That's a topic that...
It's a tough one.
That is a very tough topic.
Yeah, it also has to deal with a little bit about, like, social anxiety and also, like, people-pleasing and kind of being an enabler. So it goes deep, but it's also, like, got Pixar Turning Red vibes because they're, like, obsessed with this K-pop band and they're trying to get concert tickets and their shenanigans.
My question is, what is the K-pop band's name?
Okay, it's a fake name.
I mean, I want to know.
It's a fake K-pop band, but it's very, very obviously based on BTS. But it's Supreme Beat is my fake K-pop And they're obsessed with Kim Tae-ho, which is just like a name I made up.
But, I mean, that is like such a common Korean name.
But they're like totally obsessed with him. He's like the lead dancer because they're dancers. But obviously, he's Kim Nam-jun, obviously.
Mr. President.
That's right.
So this is your second book.
It is.
Like, was it a struggle? Did you get the sophomore slump? I'm sorry to ask this.
This book was such a pain. This is like my my troubled child. It took 3 years to write this one. And yeah, it's like a fun, silly book, but actually it kind of goes pretty deep into a lot of the things I've struggled with my entire adult life, like people pleasing and saying no and having boundaries. So it took a really long time to write it because in my first draft, like, the main character, Sunny, was, like, super innocent and it was all her best friend's fault of all the bad things. And it took a few drafts to kind of unearth where she was kind of part of the problem. And yeah. I think that was a personal journey as well.
I'm really glad that you're diving into, like, tougher topics like toxic friendships because I feel like when you're younger, it's really hard to recognize, like, how to set boundaries when someone's taking advantage of you.
Yes. So this is for all the chakhan good girls.
Oh, the chakhan good
girls who are always trying to do the right thing and be nice and make everyone happy. But at the end of the day, someone needs to tell those chakhan girls, hey, don't take that. That's not right. You crossed my boundary. And I think we need more examples of that, especially for our awkward ones who aren't used to conflict and don't like to make a fuss. And, you know, we got to learn how to put on our big girl pants and say, you can't, you know, violate my boundary. That was hard. It's still hard.
I mean, it's still hard as someone who is over 30 years old.
Oh, so, over 40 over here. Yes.
So, just a random question.
Yes.
Do you snack while you're writing?
Snack? Oh, my gosh. Look at my backpack, Rira.
Oh, my God. Show me all of your snacks.
Here's my bag of snacks. I have Ace.
Oh, you have the Ace crackers.
I have some Japanese rice crackers. I've got some
But these are pretty healthy, though. They're not like super seasoned.
And look at what I have. I went to Tracy Badua's launch for her newest middle grade novel called The Takeout. And she had these Filipino little cookies.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I snagged, like, more than my share. And I'm still eating them all week long. They're delicious. Thank you, Tracy. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Anytime. And, I love Books and Boba. The biggest fan. Woot woot.
All right.
Check, check. One, two. One, two.
Hey. Hey, Phil. We're here with Phil Yu, a.k.a. Angry Asian Man, a.k.a. the host of Fellow Potluck Podcast. They call us Bruce and all the Asians on Star Trek. What are you doing here,
Phil? So I'm here representing our book, Rise, A Pop History of Asian America from the 90s to now. Jeff should be here, too, but, you know, he's late as usual. We're repping for our book. And, I'm glad I ran into you guys, the Books and Boba.
Sorry, no Boba here, but we do have podcast equipment, so that's where you're chatting with you. I guess, you know, we've actually didn't have you on
what's up with that, man?
Yet. But now we are. So can you tell us about what is your book, Rise?
Oh, wow. Rise, A Pop History of Asian America from the 90s to Now, which I have to say every time, in full title every time we talk about it. Is a history book of sorts where we talk about the people, places, ideas, and movements and events that
it's fine.
That informed Asian America, our community, and created it. You know, that makes up this place we call the Asian America, which we insist is a thing, is in fact a force to be reckoned with in America.
Yeah, I mean, it's a type of book that I'm sure you get this a lot that I wish we had growing up because the history of pop culture, Asian American pop culture, spans much further than we thought it.
Oh, for sure. That is a very common feedback we get, you know, the sentiment that, like, wow, I wish I had something like this. Because I think a lot of the times when it comes to Asian American culture in general, it's kind of sidelined or submerged as opposed to things that are more mainstream, especially when we were growing up. And so, you know, one of the big inspirations for us even talking about writing the book was the release of Crazy Rich Asians in 2018, which was like, you know, a very big deal, very milestone event, a major film that kind of changed a lot of people's minds about what was possible at the box office in terms of like Asian American stories.
Yeah.
But what really inspired it was the discourse around it was
this the first time we've ever been on
well,
screen.
Well, every time someone mentioned it, they were always sort of forced to kind of also say this statistic. This is the first time we've been on, Asian Americans have been on a major studio movie in, you know, in 30 years, you know, since the Joy Luck Club. And it was like required for every journalist to mention that, you know, in every like third paragraph of their article. So we thought, well, that makes it sound like the Joy Luck Club came out. We did nothing for 30 years. And then Crazy Rich Asians came out, and we knew that wasn't true. So we were like, a lot of our conversations were like, wow, you know, remember that thing we were really into? Like, you know, like Asians really started like the import tuning scene, and nobody really talks about that.
Or,
you know, we'll just talk about a lot of things that were kind of, we kind of thought were subcultures in a way. And it always ended with us going like, you know, somebody should write a book about that, or somebody should make a documentary about that scene, because it was really cool. And after a while, you kind of say that enough times, and you're like, well, maybe we should write it then, you know? And so it began the process of thinking like, all right, maybe we can, maybe it'll be easy to make this book. It wasn't.
Tell us, how long did it take you guys to like put everything? Because I know you also reached out to the community, right? It was a team effort to put this
book together. Well, for sure. One of the things what we were definitely sure of was that the three of us alone, despite our experience and sort of where we come from, our backgrounds in the community, we were like, there is no way the three of us can be tasked with telling the story of our history, this community's history of the last 30 years. So we were like, we need to get a bunch of people, we need to get contributors of a lot that reflect a lot of different backgrounds and histories and stories and experiences and make this happen. And it took us a while. We wrote it over the kind of the heaviest portion of the pandemic, and we did a lot of interviews over Zoom, a lot of meetings over Zoom, and a lot of spreadsheets. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to get a copy of the book, and it seems comprehensive, but still, just like, it's just a piece
my
of
gosh.
It, right?
When I look at the book, I'm like, this is just barely scratching the surface. I mean, some of these interviews we did were like 2 hours long, and then we had to condense it down to like a 2-page spread just for time's sake. And, you know, the book was actually supposed to be like, I don't know, 200, 300 pages. And it's now 500 because we just kept on thinking like, oh, if we do this, we have to do a thing about this. We have to do a piece about this, you know, did we ever think about it? And so it just kind of inspired more and more pieces. And after a while, we're like, there's no way this really does justice to any of these histories, but hopefully it's a starting point for people.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, once my nephews and nieces are old enough, I'm going to give them a copy just to let them know so they don't have to think that we started 2018.
Yes, exactly, you know? Exactly. I think a lot of people will be surprised. I think that's a big part of it for me was like, I want people to know that like we've been around and we've been doing stuff. We've been contributing to this project called Asian America, to America. Because I think America does a pretty bad job of educating everyone in general about our history. So this is at the very least, a starting point.
Yeah. Well, belated congrats on the book, and it's been out for
a
while now.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
Glad you're here, and yeah, have fun at the festival. I guess we'll catch up.
Good to be here. Thanks, Marvin.
All right.
Here with Julie Tu, the author of Circling Back to You and The Donut Trap. Welcome back to the show, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful having you back. So how have you been?
Busy. There's been a lot of writing, a lot of, you know, authors, a lot of events this year. I think just things being more open and more events happening in person. So just busy on that front.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird seeing you in person because we interact online quite often. You've been very diligent about filling out our Asian Books Challenge bingo board this year.
Yeah. That's an overachiever in me. There is an option on the Books Challenge that says like recovering overachiever. Like every time I just want to put my picture on it. Like maybe that should just be my face.
I know your book, Circling Back to You, got recommended a bunch of times for the Asian Books Challenge. I think it was like under fake relationships.
Yeah.
But for our listeners who have never heard about the book, can you give us like a quick elevator pitch for it?
Yeah. So it is a office romance between two real estate professionals who have a lot of chemistry in the office. But when a work trip takes them out of the office and close to their hometowns and their families, it really kind of brings a new dimension into the relationship. And so they kind of have to figure out like if their relationship is really just within their office or if they could really make it work outside. And so, yeah, it's kind of fun. It's very lighthearted.
Yeah. And like, where did the inspiration come for it?
So that is my pandemic book. I wrote it in the summer of 2020. And I think there's just a lot of inspirations. Like, you know, when we're just hunkered down at home, like I watched a lot of Bravo. I watched Million Dollar Listing. And I also looked at Zillow a lot. And so I thought, oh, okay, maybe I should make my characters work in real estate. But I also like the idea of like, you know, when we have really strong like relationships in the office, like it's very limited to like, you know, the interactions we have in the workplace, whereas like, how does it actually work in real life? And so I kind of like being able to explore that a little bit. And actually one of my favorite episodes of Parks and Recreation is also the one where Leslie and Ben go on a work trip. So it's kind of like all those multiple inspirations kind of like melded into this like Asian American rom-com.
I love that it is like an office rom-com because I feel like I haven't seen enough of those with our faces in it. Like, I mean, we've seen it in like K-dramas, obviously, I feel like Asian Americans, there's definitely like a different work culture to it.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, how was it writing this book compared to The Donut Trap? Did it come more easily or was it a little bit harder?
It was harder because it was my first book on contract. So there's like a deadline and like having to like turn it in on time. And then also with the pandemic happening in the backdrop, like that was all very challenging. The Donut Trap was, you know, started out more as a personal project. And so I took my time, you know, didn't feel any pressure about writing it at all. So those were the main differences between the two. But I really did try, I think because of how hard the quarantine was, like I think for Circling Back to You, I really tried to inject like as much humor and jokes, like as much as possible. So I had a lot of fun writing it in that respect.
Yeah. And I mean, being a pandemic author, like it's very isolating, you know, and like you guys didn't really get book events like when the pandemic was happening. It was all virtual. So how has it been finally like meeting readers in person and like getting their responses?
Yeah, it's like really surreal for one that, you know, because, you know, we're in LA, like to get to any book event, you have to drive. And so like, I'm always amazed that people just drive to come see me. And it's been really nice. And like, just to be able to get that feedback and just kind of get that kind of welcome is really nice.
All right. Well, my last question to you, and it's pretty random. What are you watching these days?
What am I watching these days? I actually haven't been watching. You know what? I'm a really big fan of like food shows.
Oh.
So I've been watching Top Chef.
Oh my God. Marvin is a huge Top Chef fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I watched that. That's the only show I watch very religiously right now. But I also have started watching the current season of Taste the Nation, which is on Hulu with Padma Lakshmi. And then as far as like hey dramas go, I've been seeing a lot of promo for Black Knight. And like, it's not really the typical thing I usually watch, but like, when you see Kim Woo Bin like all over your Instagram, it's kind of like maybe I should watch.
Yeah, maybe you should watch it. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, Julie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A quick note here. Our last interview is with Julie Abe. I didn't specify which Julie we're talking to, so this is just to let you know that this next interview is with Julie Abe, the author of The Charm List, Native Evergreen, among others. Hey, Julie.
Hello.
I feel like, I mean, it's been years since we last talked to you, but I feel like we chat with each other a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, so it's been a few years. We first last talked in 2020, right?
Yeah.
And that was right when I was releasing my first book, Eva Evergreen. And since then, I'm right now writing my seventh book. So it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been
prolific,
busy.
Some might say. Yeah, it's. I think, you know what the connection is? Because I got a finished copy of your book, and I gifted it to my niece, who now lives in Singapore. And it's become her favorite book. Her and her sister like read it all the time. So, and then my cousin has been telling them that, oh, she's friends with your Uncle Marvin. So
he posts good food pics. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about, you have a new book coming out soon.
Yes. I have two new books coming out. So in August, I have a book called Tessa Miata is No Hero. And that's about a girl who goes to Japan and she... is not really good at making friends, but she's stuck with the next door neighbor, Jin, and she goes on a quest, or what she thinks is a quest, to just go and bring an antique, a broken antique, to a shop to get repaired. But when it breaks completely, she releases an evil god on Tokyo, and she and Jin have to get everything fixed before they go back home.
Oh no. Hate to see that.
And then my second book is a story, it's a romance, about two best friends that grew up together their whole lives. And they may or may not be in love with each other, but they come across a love potion in Tokyo. Common theme for this year is Tokyo books. And so they come across a love potion, but instead of making them fall in love with each other, they forget each other. So they have to find a way to come back together.
Wow. And this is your sequel to The Charm List, right?
It's a spinoff, but you could read either without having read the other.
Okay. Yeah. So seems like you have a big Tokyo theme going with your new books.
Yeah, I actually just came back from Tokyo, but I wrote these books when I was missing Japan the most because it was like during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go there and I miss seeing friends. I miss seeing family. So I really wanted to go back.
Yeah. Always love reading about going to Tokyo. I last visited in 2018, so it's been a while for me as well.
I think that was earlier than me. I went back in like 2016, and that was my last visit until most recently.
Awesome. So we're here at the Long Beach Festival of Asian AAPI Books. How's it been for you so far?
It's been wonderful. We had a panel earlier with three other middle grade authors. So we talked about our books, about writing, the things that like we have to juggle on a daily basis to make our books happen. And it was a lot of fun just connecting with the audience, connecting with other readers, and seeing that there's so many diverse books out there now.
Yeah. I mean, you said yourself, you've written seven books now, probably more on the way. And you also write different, I guess, you know, you write middle grade, but you also write young adult. What do you think is the difference between writing those two, like for those two audiences?
It's tough. I would say a lot of the can be like content, because obviously my young adults, I write a bit more romance. There's a bit of earnestness and sincerity that I love about middle grade that I don't think is the same about young adult. So I do think there's a lot of difference between writing the two, especially when I think about the audience of who will read it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about when is the right time to introduce The Charm List to my nieces. They're about getting there. Like the oldest is about 13, so she's about there, right?
I think it's about time. Yeah, she can read it. Yeah. Well, I think the publisher says 14 plus. So
okay.
So maybe another year.
Another year or so, right? Yes. I don't know if my cousin's going to be okay with me introducing her to the concept of dating boys or whatever.
But Books and Boba is in The Charm List, so yeah. Maybe that's a reason for her to read it.
To read Books and Boba in a book, I was very, very happy. Thank you for including us in your book.
It was, when I was thinking of a bookstore name, I was like, what better name than Books and Boba?
I know.
Best name for a podcast, best name for a bookstore.
I keep telling Rira we should
just do a for reals one. But she's like, no, I'm not starting a bookstore.
You guys should make a bookstore. I would love it.
Yeah. So you have Tessa Miata coming out soon. You have Our Cursed Love coming out soon. I'm assuming you're working on your next like three books now.
So I am working on book two for Tessa Miata, and it is due. It was due a few days ago, actually. So Alvina, if you're hearing this, like, I'm sorry, but it should be done next week. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And I'm working on final edits of just trying to make the characters, the world, everything just shine as good as I can before it goes on to copy edits, because this is really like the last chance, last stage.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed I can make the deadline.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to your cover. Your covers are all really...
Thank you.
You have really amazing covers for your
books.
I have
amazing covers. I'm very lucky that my publishers have chosen great artists. So yes, very thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all the work you do. Thank you so much for making me the cool uncle to my nieces. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
And those were some conversations we had at the Festival of AAPI Books 2023. Again, we'll be back again at the festival this coming Saturday, May the 4th. So if you're in the area, please come and say hi. And if you are a Honey Boba supporter on Patreon, stay tuned for more conversations like this on next month's Boba Chat bonus podcast. Before we go, just a quick reminder that this month's book club pick is Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang. We'll be recording and releasing our book club discussion of that book next week. So you still have some time to get in your thoughts either on Goodreads or on Discord. There's definitely been a lot of feedback this time around for this book, and we're really excited to integrate your thoughts into our discussion as well. But with that, thanks for listening to Books and Boba. Rira will be back from her vacation for next week's episode, so really looking forward to catching up as we discuss our April book club pick. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.
I'm Charlene Kay. I'm a musician, songwriter, and guitarist. Growing up, I loved music. Whether it was pop, acoustic, emo, I ate it all up. But as a Chinese-American kid living in Scottsdale, Arizona, I also felt isolated, never really seeing artists who looked like me or shared my experiences. So after years of performing on stages all over the world, I wanted to create a space to highlight the amazing Asian musicians who I knew were out there, just not always getting played on the radio. That's why I started Golden Hour, a podcast where Asian singers, songwriters, instrumentalists, and music producers share their personal stories. And it's a space for you to discover your new favorite artist. Listen to Golden Hour with me, Charlene Kay, wherever you get your podcasts. Part of the Potluck Podcast Collective.